So that we can save this and we are recording. So now officially welcome everyone to the Peace Alliance Monthly Action Call for the month of August 2020. Thanks, Judy, for that kind introduction. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's a pleasure to be with you. I really appreciate you all making the time and the effort to come and join us tonight. Plan for tonight, this is a different call from many of our monthly action calls. I want to give you a little bit of background. Last month, we had a call that was focused on truth and reconciliation. And we had a special guest, Areshni Naidu Silverman, who talked about the truth and reconciliation process in international contexts and how it could look here in the United States. How could we use this restorative practice or transformative practice to look at our American history and current culture where there was a background of racially oriented violence and genocide even, and enslavement? And how can we use truth and reconciliation to acknowledge and move through some dialogue that would help us to heal that? And new awareness, I think, that was brought to that call last month, that we decided to have another call and possibly a series of calls to process what we started to learn last month and to really get our hands into what these steps might look like to promote truth and reconciliation here in our American culture. So this is our next endeavor to begin to do that. Some of our goals are to empower folks to be part of an ongoing truth and reconciliation process and to move towards political influence, to learn about facilitating dialogue, but starting with checking in with ourselves. What's it going to take for us to begin, to prepare, to engage, to promote these truth and reconciliation processes? So pretty soon I'm going to turn it over to my partner in this endeavor, Yelena Popovich. And Yelena is our leadership council lead on the cornerstone of teaching peace in schools. Some folks know the Peace Alliance is a leadership council for our five cornerstones of peace building, and one of those is teaching peace in schools. Before we do that, I want to ask you to join me in kind of getting centered by sharing a few breaths together, and then I'll do what's called a land acknowledgement. So I'll invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable closing your eyes. And let's just see where our breath wants to go. When we bring our attention inward to our own bodies and our own breathing, we can notice the effect of gravity wherever it is touching us most directly, where our body meets the chair or the couch, maybe where our feet meet the floor. Notice how the breath is moving in and out. Partly we control it, partly it somehow operates without our choice. It finds its way to where it's needed. See where it goes. Know that so many beings on this planet are breathing all at the same time right now. The trees are breathing in and breathing out. Mammals, the reptiles, fish. Now let's take one more breath, more or less together, breathing in and breathing out. And if your eyes are closed, I'll invite you to open them again and come back together in the next phase of our work. So thank you for joining us in that. Now I want to do what's called a land acknowledgement, which is just what it sounds like, to acknowledge some of the history of this land. I'm here in Florida, in the United States, in Tallahassee, and the United States for something like 10,000 years or more was the home to dozens, if not hundreds, of bands of people. Those that occupied the land where I am now were called Apalachee. And they, along with many other groups that came to be known as Seminoles, many of them were forcibly marched from this area in what's called the Trail of Tears across to the west. Many of these tribes have been wiped out by arrival of European colonizers, wiped out through warfare, through massacre, through broken treaties, through disease, some of which was intentionally inflicted. So that's some of the history of this land. And I also want to acknowledge that beginning around 400 years ago, many, many African people were brought to this country in chains, and many died along the way. Many were forced into labor here. Many were killed, victims of countless horrible acts. And much of the fruits of their labor is the prosperity that this society currently enjoys. So that is by way of acknowledging what has happened, in my view, on this land. Many things have happened, but those are some prominent things that have happened here that may be part of what we as individuals and as groups can choose to look at in terms of the healing and the progress that we can make as a people. I myself want to also acknowledge that my more or less Caucasian grandparents came to this country about 100 years ago. So with that as a background and an introduction and a welcome, again, I want to warmly welcome folks. And if you didn't notice, I want to bring to your attention that folks who registered by email for this call should have received an email from me about an hour ago with a link to some materials that could be very useful to look at during this call or in the coming weeks as you reflect on what we talk about during this call. So if it's easy and you can look at that email, if you can grab that email, look at the link and look at those materials sometime in the next 20 minutes or so to be prepared for the rest of the call, that could be helpful. After Yelena speaks, and then we invite some sharing from all of you, hopefully we'll have a chance for a little bit of sharing, at least opportunity for all of you. There's gonna be an update on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee from Kendra Mon, and then we'll close out our call. So that's the plan for this evening, is basically to embark on the next step of how we prepare for and engage in some truth and reconciliation process around what has happened and is happening largely in terms of race here on this continent. And with that, I very gratefully welcome my comrade in this endeavor, Yelena Popovich.
Thank you, Dan. Welcome, everybody, on this call. My name is Yelena, and I like to say that my name is not practiced enough in this country. So, you know, often folks do not know when they see my name, do not know how to pronounce it. And I often invite people to try it as many times as they want to practice it. And in that way, you know, we each see each other and hear each other fully. You know, my identity as somebody who has come to this country as an first generation immigrant, you know, I have not lose my identity through my name. I want to acknowledge that I live in Greenville, South Carolina, which is actually on the land of the Eastern Band of Cherokees. So I am, that's where I'm situated right now. As Dan and I were talking about this call and in just kind of seeing where do we want to go as the August call, it became apparent to us that, you know, we cannot invite truth and reconciliation as just one call. And often, I come from the education background. I have worked in education for the last 20 years since I came here. And for me, I often see professional development in a way that we present something, and then sometimes we never revisit. Sometimes we don't take any deeper dive into things. Sometimes we do what I called professional development, that is a spray and pray model. We try to disseminate information, kind of spray it out, and pray that it will work out. In this kind of way, really, last month's call really landed for me deeply. And when I looked at, when I heard what Arashni was sharing, one thing that really struck me is that the goal of that transitional justice is sustainable peace. And to work towards sustainable peace is the work that it needs to be sustainable and that needs to be continuous. So as Dan and I were talking, and Dan said, yeah, let's kind of do this facilitation of this call in this way. And the first thought that came through my mind is like, who am I to facilitate this? And then the next question that came up is that, who I am not to? It is not somebody else to step into this. We just need to start. And I bring myself fully to this and practice something that I called try it on. Be willing to try on new ideas and doing things that I might be really scared of doing. And it's okay for me to not know, to not be an expert, but have this willingness to engage, to be vulnerable, and to trust my intuition, and to really invite us all in an exploration to try, you know, to really explore these four dimensions related to change, the different levels that of impact and scope. And the first dimension is that personal dimension and relational dimension, engaging at the personal and the individual level and interpersonal and a community level. And that might be that most immediate change that has some local scope. And then, you know, at the same time, working on a structural and cultural dimensions to engage in processes that impact our institutions and wider, culture in a political manner. And that represents that broader scope and impact. So by bringing, my skill set in holding space, I just want to invite all of us to start this process and say, what are some of the skill sets that we can apply here? What are yours? What do we have collectively in this group to prepare for this process of truth and reconciliation? And as I looked at a toolkit that Dan provided again, I invite you all to go back and look at it. And I remember looking at it and being in awe what is in there. And then, you know, the next morning I got swamped by 10,000 different things and didn't look at that again. So, you know, I just intentionally need to go back and look at that again and really stop and slow myself down to really look what is in there. And it's really rich. In that particular toolkit that Dan shared, there is a whole toolkit for facilitating intergenerational dialogue, integrating very different cultural, through very different cultural lenses, mindfulness. It's really rich. So I invite you to really take a look at that toolkit, and specifically at the site that was shared and that call, and that is International Coalition of Sites of Conscience. So they have come up with this specific toolkit that is related to education, actually. So that's why it's so, that particularly why it landed so deeply for me, I think. And it brought a lot of questions for me. It brought a lot of questions on, you know, what can we focus on? Do I know enough or have enough to do this work? What supports do I need, do we need? Who do I ask for support? And whom do we ask? So that is some of my grappling that I believe I'm not the only one that after that call wanted to actually stop and really truly start to engage with this. Yeah. Dan?
Thanks, Yelena. So that could give folks a background of, and I really appreciate it, and asked Yelena to share after she told me what her experience was. I thought this could be valuable really for other folks to hear this as well. Because what we shared, for folks that haven't looked at it or weren't on last month's call, it's an 80-page resource. Okay. It's not a quick read, but it's really rich, as Yelena said, and it's called From Brown versus the Board of Education to Ferguson. So since 1954, when the Brown versus the Board of Education ruling said that schools had to desegregate, that separate was not equal. Since then, there has been some structural change, but there continues to be a much higher rates of suspension and expulsion for Black and Brown youth. And those higher rates of suspension and expulsion often are a precursor to higher rates of arrest. And then there are higher rates of conviction. There are higher rates of probation. So looking at this phenomenon, these are tools for truth and reconciliation around this particular aspect in education and in arrest and incarceration. There are other areas that certainly call for our attention, and there are other sets of tools that we may want. So part of our framing for this call, just one other thing, in the packet that was shared and the resource that was shared to all of the folks who registered for the call tonight, there's also a template for a letter to the editor. So for folks that feel like advocacy through the newspaper, through the news, is something that you have some familiarity with or some appeal to, there's a template that you can use, and you can modify as much as you like. You can use that language as much as you like. That could be something that you use in this effort. That might not be your calling. It might be something else. So our question to you is, when you think about engaging in or promoting some of this process of truth and reconciliation in this country around our history of race, regarding Indigenous cultures, regarding other ethnicities and races from your own, from the mainstream, what do you feel like you need? What are the questions that come up for you in terms of what support do you need? What information or skills do you think you need? What could be your next steps? So that's really what we want to ask you in this next 20 minutes or so. Take a moment and really check in with yourself. We're inviting you to be part of this process on some level. It might be in your neighborhood. It might be in your family. It might start with yourself. It might start with research. It might start with communication with your city council, with your county commission. Let's talk about that statue that's there and the history of it in your town square. Or let's talk about what's happening in your school district. Let's talk about the history of your town. Was it built by forced labor? Was the industry developed by slave labor? what is your role and what is our role? So we're really embarking on this together. And that's what we invite for the discussion for this next 15 to 20 minutes or so, is for you to share where you think you are with this and what you think you need. What questions come up for you? We will probably not have answers to most of those questions, but we're beginning to consider the questions. And we foresee more calls along these lines. This is the second specific call on this topic, and we don't believe it's going to be the last. We think this is the next step along the process. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of time to collect some thoughts and maybe just check in with yourself about where you are and what comes up for you. And now we'd love to hear from folks. And I guess the request is if you could try to address some of those questions, and maybe if you can keep your share to somewhere under 3 minutes, or like really 4 minutes tops, so we have a chance for a lot of shares. You know, really like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes would be great, so that a lot of people get a chance to share. But really check yourself if you think you're getting into the 3, 4, 5 minute space. But that's enough said. I don't want to inhibit anybody, but I also want space for plenty of people to share. And again, we may not have answers. We may just go from question to question and see what comes up. So if you would like to share what is coming up for you around this, you can raise your hand using the software, that little hand raising button. It should be under the menu topics, or you can raise your hand physically and we'll see you and we can unmute you, or you can unmute yourself. If you're on the phone, *9 is to raise your hand and *6 is to mute or unmute. Anybody have anything come up? When we invite you to be an active participant and or proponent of truth and reconciliation for this country, what do you think you need? What are you ready to do? What will it take to help you prepare? What questions come up? What concerns come up?
Heather, Diane, I see Heather raising her hand.
Okay,
hands.
Great. Heather, what's on your mind? Share with us.
Well, you know, it's interesting in listening to Nella.
You're coming in to me a little bit buzzy. Is there anything you can do with your microphone? Okay. Try again.
Can you hear me better?
Much better now. Thank you. There you are.
I took the Bluetooth off. Well, my experience and just listening to what Yanela was saying about her background and the fact that we as here in America really don't know a lot about other cultures is true. And myself, being a Black woman raised in a Caucasian family, I have lived on both sides of it. You know, being raised from a baby up until I stepped out into the world and got to know the other side of who I really am, a Black woman. And what I've come to see is it's consciousness. You know, you've got a lot of people still holding old thoughts about racism and old thoughts that they pass on to their children. And you've got to change your consciousness. And I have a platform. I have a radio show that we do every Tuesday. And that's one of the platforms that I'm sharing with you that I feel can be used to help move this forward.
Okay. Thank you. That's a great beginning. I love it. I appreciate it. Did you say that you just shared it in the chat? Is that where it is?
Yeah, I shared some stuff in the chat about you know, being raised and whatnot, yet oppression or racism has now come through the laws. If you look at it, even when Obama was president, look at the racism that occurred. We didn't talk about it then, we have now. Yet how do we change that? It comes back to consciousness, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so I'm hearing you say that there's a lot that comes down to our own consciousness, and that
most definitely,
and that part of the way that you are working with this is you have a radio show where you engage people and have conversations and work on this kind of awareness.
Yes, it's Buzzer's Corner of Love, and it's spiritual, and it's spirituality. Yet, what you think and what you speak is what we create. and what we've been thinking and speaking in this world and in this country, we've created. We talk hate, we talk negative, we talk lack, limitation, oppression. Isn't that what's been created?
Okay.
Well, so I think Buzzers Corner of Love Radio would love to get involved in some way, shape, or form to help this move forward. That's my bottom line.
Cool. I saw somebody asked how they can access your radio show. Can you put something about that in the chat so people can find it?
Yep, I'll put the website in there. They sure can. Yep.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, would anybody like to go next?
Yeah, I see raised hand, Casey. Are you next?
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm very interested in this truth and reconciliation process for the United States because I think we can visibly see signs of a deterioration of a country, which is really established on beautiful ideals, but has this polarity within its existence, which must be addressed. So these are the injustices against the Native American population. These are the foundation and establishment of this country on the back of slaves. And also the extreme environmental degradation that we've done to this country. These are all critical truth and reconciliation processes that must be taken care of. Otherwise, I think the future of this country is going to be very painful in a lot of ways. So how do we bring these tools and skills to people who want to participate in communities to get this done? You know, and as a country, as the United States of America, we absolutely have to do this. So how do we disseminate these practices to as many peoples as possible to get it done in their regions, in their cities, in a local way? Because I really think it does happen on a local way relative to, I'm a practitioner of bioregionalism. So let's look at the watersheds and like actual terrains of an area and organize around that. That's a different way of making political progress. So those are just some ideas I'll toss out. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. So some of what I was hearing, and I hope folks don't mind if I reflect a little bit here and there, but what I was hearing is that you're seeing a real strong need that you're drawn to of sharing these tools, of sharing this process, that there, you know, it needs to be, you want to see it employed in many places around race and ethnicity, around indigenous people and environmental situations. So how do we spread the word is part of the challenge that, or the goal that you're looking at. Yeah. Who would like to go next?
Well, I've got my hand. Anna Barker in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. And I'm so grateful, Dan, that you shared the resources you did. I was unaware of the International Sites of Conscience, and oh my goodness, it does my old English teacher's heart good. For 40 years, I've been involved in education, and so I resonate, dear Yelena, with the efforts that you're engaging in now as we look at how we even have schools, you know, how do we school? And that's gone from a noun, school has gone from a noun, a place, to being a verb and an online action. And so thank you both for doing the online actions that you are, that you're doing to help educate us about this international movement. And what I would like to learn more about how to do it, how to establish a site of conscience. The place that I have in mind to do it is called the Wiseman Art Museum. And it's just this huge, amazing, magnificent museum on the banks of the Mississippi River. And the previous speaker mentioned being a water steward. I'm what's considered here in Minnesota by the Freshwater Society, a water steward, and by the University of Minnesota, which is right next to the Wiseman Art Museum there in Minneapolis, in the heart of the Twin Cities, a master gardener. And so I've always grown children along with growing vegetables and planting trees and doing environmental justice work with communities that have been underserved. And we used to bring children to the Wiseman Art Museum and do what the docents do in these programs and train the teachers about how to have the children, have the students look at the works of art, and we would get funding to bring in different kinds of art. And so my school was an integration school, a magnet school for the arts and science. And so, and we would intentionally invite parents to send their children to this magnet school, Crosswinds Arts and Science School, so that they would learn how to be peace sites. We had a peace pole. We're part of the World Citizen Peace Site, and bring people together from no matter what their background, that they could find common ground through the arts and science. And we used to go to the Wiseman Art Center when they would have specially funded exhibits that would challenge people to stop coming fisticuffs and start looking at how they could shake hands and find common ground regardless of their backgrounds. And as an English teacher and a poet, we would look at works of art and invite the students to write down in their notebooks, what do you see? What's your point of view? What do you see? And then we would do breakouts, and the children would sit down in circles and they would share what they saw. And they were amazed, always amazed at how different their perspectives were. It was just a blessing, a gift. And so I know the Wiseman and the University of Minnesota would love to learn more about how we can be a site of conscience on the Mississippi River. And at that confluence of tenderness, be gentle and invite participation like this that I've got a track record for doing, and stop the killings. At Lake in Chicago, there was the stabbing of a teenage boy just two nights ago yet. We've had 45 murders in Minneapolis this summer alone, and it's got to stop. And the place where George Floyd was killed has now become a memorial. That too could be a site of conscience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And you've got your Anna B. Let's build on.
All right. Thank you, Anna B. I won't try to reflect all of that, but I'll say, yeah, I'm really grateful and appreciative. And please, you know, let us know how we can continue to support a project like you're talking about. It sounds like you're inspired and excited about this toolkit and actually have a specific museum site in mind, and you have a track record of facilitating some of these dialogues with students around different points of view, and you've got the passion for what's happening currently socially to really try to make this effective. So I really appreciate you bringing all that. And again, as we go forward, see how we can support you, see how you might, if I dare say, support others.
Absolutely. An old teacher and always a new learner. And thank you, because we can build community and replicate and disseminate. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I'm thrilled. We will stay in
touch.
Thank you. Yeah. Great.
I think Ruben tried to raise hand multiple times, so I just want to allow time.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Anyway, my name is Ruby, and I'm very much interested into anything that got to do with peace. I have been involved with peace activity for most of my life. I'm from Liberia, West Africa. Liberia, as you know, was founded by free slaves. When they freed the slaves in the U.S., those slaves that went back to Africa, they were to settle. So about 33% of the population are African American. And the reason I'm here, because there was a conflict between the free slave and the native. When the free slave went back to Africa, those days, the native could not sell land. They would give you the land to use the land free, because they felt that it was something scarce from God. So they gave the land to the free slave, but then the free slave took everything away from them, you see? And what happens is that I'm caught in the middle, because my mother is part of the free slave and my father is a native. My mother name is Marie Kennedy. Kennedy ain't no African name, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so anyway, so the war came and it was a very serious problem. And in Liberia, I was a musician, but what I did, I used music as a constructive social force to unify people. Because music is the best thing to bring people together. So the reason why I decided to identify myself with this group now, I realized that right now in America, I see a lot of people are angry. A lot of people, because you see where I work? Where I work, I deal with a lot of people. I work at Costco. So I educate members about nutrition. And people come and they got all these conspiracy theory, you know, they will explain this to me, that to me. And some of them can sound so off and some can sound bad too, you know what I'm saying? So I realized that people are getting really angry around here. And that is one of the things that is affecting people's health. Because when you get angry, it affects your health. People don't understand, it's not just the food you eat. You know, angerness is toxic. You know, oxidation, inflammation, free radical, it damages your health. So I am coming in this thing with an idea that I want to come with an idea that I can bring some constructive social force that will help to unify people. You see what I'm saying? And because, I mean, we are all the same, you know, I mean, today, tomorrow, I was telling my neighbor, I say, if anything happened like an earthquake, we'll be trying to help each other. You know what I'm saying? You see? So I really appreciate this group. I want to know more about the group, and I have also a lot to offer. I'm into fitness, I'm into music, you know, so I can show you that what you're trying to do, it is very, very important, because I see every day in Costco, a lot of people are very angry. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ruben. Yeah, so I'm hearing that with your particular background from Liberia, and that your mother was from a freed slave family and your father was from a native family, and there was so much initial conflict there, that you really have a background of wanting to help people come together and to resolve their differences and be able to live together. And you're still doing that partly through nutrition counseling to help people be more healthy and positive and well through nutrition, and partly through music, that you see people coming together through music. And you just see so much anger right now that you really want to be part of a solution, part of some healing solution. So you're interested in cooperating and seeing how we can work together and moving forward. And I'm very enthusiastic about everything you shared. And I'm very glad that you're here. So I hope you keep coming to the table and we'll, you know, find ways to cooperate. Please. Yeah.
Dan, I see two more raised hands. One or three. One is from a phone number with an area code 917. Go ahead and I will unmute you. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Kevin in New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kevin.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, everybody who's on this call. It's so important for us to be doing something these days, more important than ever. So this is just kind of a personal thing that that I've been struggling with. I am, you know, a white male American in this country, and as a white male American, I know how incredibly lucky, blessed, privileged I am, and it makes me feel so much that there's so much that I want to do and give back, and when I'm confronted with other white male Americans who think because you're a white male American that you buy into their racism, and so they'll say things, whether overtly racist or sort of covertly wink wink racist, and I just don't know how to respond to that, and I don't have the courage to, because it hurts me so deeply when they do that, when they just assume that I'm like them. And I just would love to figure out like a response, something to say to them that's not confrontational. There's so much confrontation in this country. You know, Ruben touched on it, so much anger. People are so ready to point fingers and call each other names and all of that. And I just feel like I just am like frozen. I just don't know what to do when confronted with that. And it just hurts me so deeply that people, you know, because I look like him, assume that, you know, I have the same beliefs as he does. And I have no response when I'm confronted with that. So that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, this summer has been such an unbelievable awakening, you know, for me in terms of racism and you know, vis-a-vis, you know, George Floyd and all that has come with that. And I just want to stop being, you know, what's the expression? If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I want to stop being a silent part of the problem.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. So
thank you.
Yeah. So part of what I'm hearing is that you find yourself being part of conversations where people, particularly other white males, will say something that may be sort of overtly have racist content or tones, or may be very, very subtle, but clearly is assuming that you're kind of, you know, on the same page around disparaging other races, and you really would like some tools, some way to respond, be part of conversation that addresses that or redirects it or somehow heals this divide while not causing more conflict, to do it in a way that is somehow connecting and productive, and because you feel horrible when you just let it go, and you don't want to cause more damage. So searching for constructive ways forward. Thank you. Who do we have next, Yelena?
I saw Elizabeth's hand and Juliet's hand. Juliet?
You're still muted, Juliet. Hang on a sec.
I'm trying to unmute you, Juliet. You might need to unmute yourself.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I live in Central California near the ocean, but I grew up in England. So I have a sort of a little bit of a different perspective, but I want to share, I lived in Jerusalem for 9 years, where I actually chose to live with Palestinians on the Mount of Olives. And I lived and I worked with handicapped Palestinian children in Bethany, which was near the Mount of Olives. And I was the only Jewish person there, but I became friends with all the village people and the people who worked in the home for handicapped children. And I'm still friendly with them. So for me, what I feel is very, very important is the personal connection, personal relationships. And here in California, that's what I would like to reach out for, is really to hear, to listen and to meet people so that we can understand and learn much more. And we have a group here in Santa Cruz where I live, called the Tent of Abraham, which is, and they're going to have a meeting on Sunday, which is devoted to faith and race. And there's going to be a professor, African-American professor, speaking about the African-American history, which will be, and then we're going to have breakout groups to share our feelings and how we feel and what we would like. I think what came out of that experience with the Palestinians is that we had a big meeting here, 200 people, and we had speakers came from the Holy Land to speak, Muslims and Jews, about the situation. And we had what's called listening circles. Now, listening circles is a really great way to listen and understand people, because each person shares their experience, and you don't have somebody interrupting and saying, well, what about that, or what about this? You really listen, and that's a way of reconciliation, is to understand the life of somebody else and what was in their lives. One other thing that I've dreamed about, which I haven't actually been able to manifest yet, but is what I would call some places in here called, there's one called the Museum of Art and History, where every month we could have a cultural event where a group of a certain culture would share their story, their food, their dancing, their culture, and that we would all get together and mix together. And it could be Native Americans or Hispanic people, African Americans, so that we really get to start to understand and realize the richness of each other, of having that cultural experience together.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So part of what I'm hearing is that you've had a chance to engage in some group processes with Israelis and Palestinians, as well as with Muslims and Jews in this country, and that you really see the prospect of more listening circles to engage people when on a person-to-person level. That when there's personal relationships are built, that really is a strong foundation for moving into cultural and political changes, and you're excited about having this moving. You've got some experience in it, you're currently participating in it, and you're looking for ways to continue doing it into the future. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more person. Yeah, and then we'll have to switch gears. And as I mentioned, I believe we're going to be doing the next phase of this next month. So if you have more thoughts and questions, I encourage folks to plan to go back to that toolkit. Look at what's there as a resource, look at other materials on Sites of Conscience, and come back together with us next month, and we'll continue moving forward together. So I guess, Elizabeth, you'll be the last one until we, and then we'll go ahead to Kendra for our Department of Peace Building update.
Well, similar to some of the other folks, I wanted to thank you for continuing this dialogue. I have been associated with the emails and information from the Peace Alliance for a long time, but I've only had a chance to actually attend one or two things in the past. And I'm also from Minneapolis, and the murder of George Floyd hit our community hard, as you know, literally. And many of us are grappling with, you know, what can we do to help? Donations to the rebuilding of the Lake Street area where the fires and the riots happened is one thing, and volunteering and others. But I had, this one caught my eye, Dan, because I had the opportunity to go to the Apartheid Museum in South Africa several years ago and see their entire journey, you know, of segregation and then on to reconciliation. And I was really impressed with what they had done and the museum and how it laid it out. And when I saw that there was Americans speaking about the potential for this, I just had to learn more. I've been on my own anti-racist learning and studies, and I'm leading a small group in our church community on racism. And you end up, you can absorb a lot of information and really learn, and I'm still continually learning. But I feel myself wanting to morph over to solutions and say, I'll keep this learning track, but I want to start trying to be part of the solution. So I'm just hopeful that truth and reconciliation and transitional justice can be a part of our path forward if we all want it to be. And I guess the thing, I'm going to definitely share this with my small group that I am studying the racism small group studies with, but I was hoping that you would keep us updated on areas where we can plug in to activities that are going on around the country to amplify and advocate for these initiatives as this continues to become a new idea on how we find our way forward. So that would be something as I can use the tool set that you sent here in my local area, but how can I help amplify and advocate around the country?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I'm hearing that you've had some direct experience learning about truth and reconciliation in other places in South Africa in particular, and that you have a lot of passion for seeing that happen here in the United States and actually being part of some action of making it happen. And that you have a request that as the Peace Alliance that we try to share information about where this is happening and have some sort of a networking role in facilitating that awareness. Thanks. Yeah, and for folks who are online, I just shared here the link to our packet, which includes that toolkit as well as the letter to the editor template. Folks who are not online with us, who are on the phone and didn't receive this, if you can get online and email me, dan@peacealliance.org directly, I'm happy to send that out individually. Thanks all for all of that. And again, I hope and intend to continue this next month. And without objection, I will hand the mic over to Kendra for our Department of Peacebuilding campaign update. Kendra Mon is on our Department of Peacebuilding committee and will share the news. Welcome, Kendra.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, everyone. So what we're working on with the Campaign for United States Department of Peacebuilding, which is to create a transformation in our basic culture, is a day of speakers on Sunday, September 20th, starting at 9 Eastern and noon Pacific time, about peace and peace building on the community level, national level, international level. And we have Dennis Kucinich, who was the author of the bill that in the modern era that changed the idea of peace from international peace only to personal peace and so on. So he'll be a speaker. And Dot Maver, who was a former director of the Peace Alliance, and Azim Kamisa, who is a teacher of forgiveness and building bridges, and Cynthia Gilliam from San Diego Kids for Peace. We've asked other people, but they haven't answered yet. The Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace will have speakers from four different continents telling about their stories, their personal stories, but also in what the work is in their continent that they are familiar with. So we hope you'll stay tuned through the Peace Alliance and getting emails from Nancy, who's our representative, our lead person, Nancy Merritt, and also we'll be having actions in some form or another about the choices of ways to contact members of Congress to support our efforts to get this bill passed. And Barbara Lee, who is the current author of the legislation. So we hope you'll join us and watch for the emails coming to you from the Peace Alliance, and go to the Peace Alliance website and look for the Department of Peacebuilding campaign as well. And if you want to get more specific information, you can write to Nancy at peacealliance.org. That's it.
Great, thank you. Thank you so much, Kendra, for that report and for all that you and your illustrious teammates are doing. I saw a note from somebody in the chat when they went to the link for the Sites of Conscience materials. It takes them to the website, and that's true. On the link, there is the link that I shared is a PDF which has the letter to the editor template, and then it has a link to the Sites of Conscience page. That page is an introduction to the toolkit. So if you get to the Sites of Conscience page, it talks about the origins of the toolkit, and there are a couple of links on that page that take you directly to the toolkit itself. So hopefully that, you know, won't lose people too much. It's just a little extra step, but I think it's worth it to acknowledge Sites of Conscience and their background. Yelena, you have anything to add before we wrap up for the evening?
Don't, Dan. I was thinking maybe we can close in a way that I have been closing some of my circles that I have facilitated. And often when we are in person with, you know, adults and children, I like to gather around fire. And this is a way that we have found a way to do this in this kind of setting, that we can actually warm our hands up, and it feels like, you know, that there is this collective fire that is coming from inside. And then if we can, the invitation is really to bring that and to share with others, bringing our palms to the screen, and so that you can see your hands and face. We are feeling, touching each other in this way, and then bringing that love and peace and connection toward ourselves and our hearts, and extending that into the world. So I just want to close with that.
Thank you, Yelena.
You're welcome.
I also had a closing quote that I had found that I'll end with before we wrap up, and it's from an author named C. Joybel C. I haven't read any of her work, but she's mostly a young adult's author, and her quote is, "If only we could believe one another's truths and see each other's stories, that would make all the difference." Thank you all for this call. Thank you for what you brought to it, your sharing, your listening, your caring. And I wish you all well. I look forward to being in touch and cooperating into the future. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye, Pache, Benny. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Night, night.
Night, night.